The latest word on new car sales in Europe is not anything bringing cheer at GM, Ford, and Chrysler headquarters. New car sales in Europe have just suffered their worst June in 17 years. And in the last 6 months, new car sales have dropped 7%. They're at their worst level in 20 years. Let's look at what's behind this protracted free fall in European car sales. Joining us from the BBC in London is reporter Russell Padmore. Welcome.
Oh, it's nice to be with you.
Now, which countries and which automakers took the biggest hit, Russell?
Well, we already know there have been a lot of problems across the European Union with the various economies. Austerity is the watchword in many nations. I suppose the alarming numbers are coming out of Germany now. This has been what many people would say to be the paymaster of the European Union. Mm-hmm. But we're now seeing sales slumping in Germany last month by nearly 5%.
Why was that?
Well, we're starting to see the effects, I suppose, of consumers reacting to the austerity. A lot of people unemployed, youth unemployment in particular, and the younger people might be those who are going to buy a new car, maybe with the help of dad and mum, but they're maybe going to enter that new car market. They have no prospect of a job in countries like Italy, Spain, Ireland even. Greece, of course, often in the news with protests in the streets of Athens about the austerity. We're seeing people worried about the future. And let's look at the bottom line. If you're a consumer and you're either not in work at the moment, no prospect of work, you're not going to spend money on a new car, or alternatively, if you are in a job at the moment but you're a bit worried about the future, you're maybe going to hang on. You might be driving that old clunker just a bit longer, fearing, yeah, I'll keep this car going. I can't afford a new one just in case I lose my job.
Now, the UK was the only major market to expand, wasn't it?
Yes, we've seen expansion in the UK, but I suppose I should be very cruel in talking about the British car industry in that it's not really British anymore. Major manufacturers here are the Japanese groups such as Toyota and Honda. It's interesting, actually, right across Europe that the industry has been talking about huge competition from Asia. Alarming numbers for the French manufacturer PSA or Peugeot Citroën, sales down 11% in June. You mentioned Chrysler, which is controlled by Fiat of Italy. Mm-hmm. Fiat sales plummeted 14% across the 27 EU member nations. And it's not just the European manufacturers suffering. General Motors sales down nearly 10% in Europe, and maybe quite worrying for GM, sales of the Chevrolet brand, which are not quite the same Chevys that you would have in the US, but Chevy sales down 23% in Europe. Maybe one bright spark, Ford, the Blue Oval, sales up 7%, but alongside that, Ford has been talking about losses in Europe this year of $2 billion.
So what are auto executives in Europe saying about all of this, Russell?
They're putting pressure on governments to say, look, consumers don't want to spend money because of the economic health of the nation that they're in. They want austerity finally over and done with. They want economies improved. I've been talking with Ivan Hodach. Now, he's the Secretary General of the European Automobile Manufacturers Association. Naturally, he expressed alarm about the state of the industry.
We have seen restructuring from Ford, from PSA. Other companies are thinking about it. We have today 30-35% overcapacity in Europe. We have companies, factories that run below 50% capacity. We will have to do something about it. There is no question that, we need to get over this hurdle and get the economy back growing and the confidence of the consumer restoring. But we probably will have to also strip a little bit more the industry.
So what's key for the industry is an upturn in the region's economy. That's still some way off. In the meanwhile, could governments do something to help the car manufacturers sell the vehicles, a change in the tax structure, for example?
Mm-hmm. The governments can help on the regulatory side. I think it's time to review all the different regulations that fall on the head of the industry, coming mainly from Brussels, that made the cost of production extremely expensive in Europe. That's where the governments, and especially the European Union, can do something.
Now, you can see, Cindy, there that Ivan Hodac is referring to the role that governments have to play. There is, some consumers would say, too much tax on cars in Europe. And I suppose the manufacturers are also worried about the increasing cost as a lot of their workers, for example, are looking for higher wages. And the problem, too, so much overcapacity in the industry. They're producing too many cars here. I'll give you one example of that. Just last year, I was talking to a few insiders in the European automobile industry, and one of them said to me quite starkly, each nation needs to close one car factory, and that still might not solve the problem. And governments, of course, don't want to see the job losses.
And then, of course, it's just a more complicated procedure for automakers because of the union situation in Europe versus here with the UAW. So trying to tackle that problem of overcapacity is really more complicated, isn't it?
Yes, it's been a real challenge, particularly for General Motors, where it's been trying to do something with its Opel brand, particularly in Germany. Now, you can understand that unlike the US, where there's one country, and so if a car manufacturer wants to reach a deal with the trade unions, a lot of talks go on in Detroit, and okay, bad news might be coming down the track, but eventually it comes and the workers accept it in a deal with the big three in Detroit. The trouble is here in Europe, a European Union, 27 different nations. There are so many branches that the various trade unions have to talk to. The car manufacturers not quite sure exactly which country they should actually make any cuts or restructuring in. And they come under intense political pressure. For example, as I say, General Motors thinking about making restructuring at its Opel subsidiary. But then again, where does it do that? Does it cut the Vauxhall brand, which is part of GM in the UK? Or does it cut, as it's known across the rest of Europe, as Opel in places like Germany? And the German government saying, well, look, we're the one country which seemingly is still doing well. You should not be cutting jobs here.
It certainly seems like there is not much light at the end of the tunnel, even though the president of the European Central Bank did predict a subdued recovery for later this year, didn't he?
Yes, we've heard a lot of talk about recovery, and it would be fair to say some nations are finally turning the corner. Maybe the one bright spark for the troubled parts of the European Union in the Eurozone would be Ireland. We're now starting to see, after all the bailouts that the Irish went through, finally that country's beginning to turn the corner, but it's still a long way from being healthy again, the Irish economy. The real key thing is we need those bigger nations getting their economies back on track again, particularly troubled countries like Spain and Italy, where there's so much unemployment. It's all about how consumers feel. If you know you've got a job and you're going to have it in the future, you will spend on luxury items, maybe a brand new car. But in the meanwhile, people are still hanging on to that old clunker, unwilling to spend. And perhaps that's the wise thing to do for a consumer. Governments have a role to play. The industry, of course, can do something for itself too. The car manufacturers know they're producing too many cars. They're going to have to make cuts. And of course, that adds to the unemployment situation, a real challenge for all the stakeholders in the industry here.
Russell Padmore, BBC News, joining us from London. Thanks for speaking with us today, Russell.
Cindy, thank you. Good being with you.
So what do these European car sales numbers mean to folks at the Rensen in Detroit or the Glasshouse in Dearborn or the Tech Center in Auburn Hills? In other words, how are those poor sales in Europe affecting GM, Ford, and Chrysler? For that, we turn to auto analyst Michelle Krebs. She's with Edmunds.com. Welcome back to the program, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
Well, here we are, gangbuster sales here at home. So the domestic sales are great. How much, though, does the trouble in Europe take some of that happy, shiny feeling away for the Detroit 3?
Well, it absolutely does. The first thing I think that is a concern is, will we catch what Europe has here? We thought that a couple of years ago. It wasn't contagious. I think that we're fairly confident that it won't affect sales here in North America. However, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler are global automakers, and they all have operations in Europe, and none of them are doing particularly well. And so it affects the bottom line of the automakers. And then next week, we'll see earnings from Ford and GM, and that will be pretty clear.
Now, unemployment, with the unemployment so high in Europe and the government austerity programs have hit people hard, even in a psychic way, people are not feeling optimistic. Can the sales and marketing teams for the Detroit 3 overcome that?
No. They have had to restructure their operations. Ford expects to be break even 2015. I think General Motors the same. But the overall economy kind of overshadows anything that they can do on a sales and marketing side. And right now, there's a lot of discounting going on there to just get people to buy at all.
What lessons do you think, if any, have the Detroit automakers learned from coping with the Great Recession here in the U.S. that they might be able to use with dealing with the recession in Europe?
Well, that's exactly what they're trying to do. If you look at what Ford has talked about, is they're trying to take the lessons they learned in restructuring and apply that to Europe. The big difference is you've got a bunch of different countries, all with too many car plants. Here we had the states, but it's not the same. No country wants to lose a car plant that employs a lot of people and that they have to figure out a way to support. So there's a lot of battling between the countries and the companies about closing plants. It was painful here, but we got it done, and that's exactly what has to happen in Europe, but it doesn't seem, nobody's blinking.
So bottom line, Michelle Krebs, how closely do we in Michigan need to be watching what is happening across the pond in Europe?
Oh, I think we need to because we can't get complacent about here, and it's really important to keep this market going because there's, you know, while some people think it's bottomed out in Europe, people like Carlos Ghosn at Nissan Renault do not think it's bottomed out. And so there has to be a focus on keeping North America strong to sustain it through the problems with Europe.
Auto analyst Michelle Krebs is with Edmunds.com. Always a pleasure, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you.